Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps, Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Look for the Odyssey app, the big orange A, download it, search for WILK News Radio, favorite it, and that's it, you're done. Nothing else to do, you can listen to us anyway. It works seamlessly with your CarPlay. Anywhere in or out of our area, it's great. A little app to have. So how's everybody doing here? I apologize Friday for not being here, but those who follow me on social media know the reason why, and I really couldn't talk about the reason why, but the U.S., now the cat's out of the bag and it's all over the media, the USS Harry S. Truman Carrier Strike Group came home over multiple days this weekend. Right after the show on Thursday, my wife and I, that's why she was here in the studio with me for the last 10 minutes of the show. She met me here, and we headed right down to Virginia Beach because Friday afternoon, the Air Wings, Carrier Air Wing 1, I believe three or four different squadrons came in that day, including my son's squadron. Flew in with the entire squadron, a 10-ship display, flew over the families. Circled around, gave Virginia Beach a little show, and then landed in groups of four and three, all lined up on the runway, pulled into their parking areas, got locked down, shut down their planes all at the same time, canopies open at the same time. It's from the time they actually land to when they're were able to be seen by family. Well, you could see them, but, I mean, actually interact with their families was about 45 minutes to an hour. They have to go through all their operational shutdowns for their jets. Again, these jets have been in combat situations for almost the past 9 months. Well, 6 months in combat, they've been deployed for 9 months. Unfortunately, one of the planes weren't able to get off due to a mechanical warning, so they didn't take the chance of that. But all the rest got there. Our son came in. If you follow me, you saw some of the pictures on social media. And the Air Wings came in pretty much about an hour apart. And it was unbelievable. I mean, we haven't seen our son in almost 9 months. His wife and child has not seen him in the past 4 or 5 months. And now that more and more information is coming out, what the Air Wing, which is a group of four or five squadrons, including F-18s, both two-seat and single seats, the Growlers, which are electronic warfare planes, the E-2D Hawkeyes, which are the ones with the big satellite dish on top, and the helicopter units. The jets come in a little earlier because obviously they can go further and faster. So they all came in Friday. Saturday, the helicopter squadrons came in to their families. And then Sunday, yesterday morning, the Arleigh Burke-class destroyers, the supply ship and the USS Truman aircraft carrier with 5,000 of its sailors came in to Norfolk. Now, the Air Wing lands at Oceana, which is about a half an hour east in Virginia Beach. But again, they've been deployed for almost 9 months, 251 days to be exact, till the ship pulled in. And they've had their trials and tribulations. Some of them you've heard about. Some of them we've kind of roundabout talked about here. But because of what they call OPSEC, operational security, I could really only discuss things that are in the public realm, things that are out there in public. And because he was away and deployed, his wife didn't really want people to know that she was alone. So, if you could read between the lines, you kind of knew what was going on, but we really didn't talk outward of it. Hearing what's been done now, it's been coming out, the fleet admiral has been talking about what they've done over the past 9 months. This is the highest operational tempo from an aircraft carrier, a single aircraft carrier, since World War II. The amount of ordnance, the amount of sorties, I think they've sailed 600,000 nautical miles, and the combat was continuous. And we don't read about it here at home a lot. We hear that the Houthis are shooting drones and ballistic missiles and anti-ship missiles, and the other things that are going on there. But there were, at the time, classified missions that were going on, Operation Rough Rider. And there was Operation Inherent Resolve, which was going on, where we were targeting not only the Houthi rebels in Yemen, but ISIS. And one of the bombing campaigns, a single campaign, 26 aircraft took off from the aircraft carriers. I believe 16 took part in the actual bombing, was the largest single bombing campaign in the history of the world. Now, again, we don't read about this. We don't see these types of things. And it's truly the Wild West out there. And it's unknown if it's just part of living in the Middle East. But, you know, even in Saudi Arabia, which is, you know, between Iran, between Libya, between the Houthis in Yemen, there's missiles going back and forth all the time over it, where the Houthis are shooting at Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is sending aircrew over to the Houthis or ISIS. It's literally the Wild West, and it just may be part of, you know, this is just living in the Middle East. But as Formula One races are taking place down below and everyday life is happening in Saudi Arabia, there's literally ballistic missiles being fired back and forth. There were the highly publicized incidents with USS Truman, a lot of it being used for politics. I mean, again, this was the highest operational tempo of any aircraft carrier strike group since World War II. You are going to have mechanical failures. You are going to have losses. You are going to have issues and incidents. There was pretty much 24/7, 365 for 5 months combat on a regular basis. No pauses, no in-betweens. Either they were launching aircraft and defending themselves or taking incoming fire and defending themselves. Multiple levels of defense that comes through. And we talked about the original issue where the USS Gettysburg shot down one of our own aircraft, an F-18. And I talked about the incident because it was in all the news, but we did not talk about that it was my son's squadron that plane was shot down. And we did get word that it was his squadron, but everybody was okay at the time. We didn't talk about this at the time because of operational security. It's just, afterwards, a few months after, it was reported that it was his squadron. But we do know that what his plane number was, and we do know he was in that squadron, and that was the plane that was shot down. Now, thankfully, he was not flying that plane. Thankfully, the pilot and the Wizzo that were in that plane ejected safely. Minor injuries. They were there at the homecoming when the rest of the squadron came home. It was great to see them up and about and there. But you think about it on a family level, and here, we're trying to live life on a daily basis. I'm trying to do radio shows, and Jake and those in the studio here obviously knew what was going on, but we really couldn't talk about it. Even though your name is on a plane, it's whatever plane is ready that day is the day you're flying. That's pretty much how you just don't only fly the plane with your name on it. It's not Top Gun and Maverick where you have your own plane. Now, there's a plane with your name on it in the squadron for most people, but you fly whatever plane's ready for that mission. So that day, he was not flying that plane, and thankfully the individuals ejected. And that whole situation is still under investigation. How, seven or eight levels of redundancy to prevent something like that happen is still being dissected. And the final report will hopefully come out in the next couple of months and correct everything that was there. There was not a similar incident after that. So hopefully, it was corrected on the spot and it'll just be documented now. Then you had while the aircraft carrier was maneuvering, doing evasive maneuvers, which was done on a regular basis. It was not like all of a sudden the Houthis are getting better at targeting the Truman. They were being shot at on a daily basis multiple times a day. Again, we don't read about it in our papers. Our politicians don't talk about it. But we have thousands of sailors, soldiers, Marines, and airmen that are in harm's way on a daily basis, real harm's way. Ballistic missiles are being shot at them. Our sons and daughters, our husbands and wives. Moms and dads. While they were taking evasive maneuver, these aircraft carriers can move very fast and bank very hard when they need to. And it is standard procedure that when they are shot at, they take evasive maneuvers. An airplane was there, and thankfully there was someone in the aircraft, a maintenance guy riding the brakes that was able to jump out of the plane before it went overboard with one of its carts that moved around in the hangar bay, and it fell overboard. And then there was the issue where the plane landing, there was a mechanical issue with the landing system, the wires. And we did talk about this, where one of them broke. Now, if they are properly maintained, if they are changed out, usually it's 100 traps That's the unclassified number that after every 100 traps, it is changed out because anything after that starts to wear on its integrity. That was all done properly. You know, these things happen during this type of tempo, this type of combat. That was also my son's squadron. So it was very tense for us as a family. It was tense for 5,000 other families out there that were on the Truman. Thankfully, all home now. And it was some of the things that got to me. Not only my grandson wearing a flight suit mimicking his dad, waving an American flag, sitting on a tarmac, you know, waiting for the planes to come in, but when the pilots did come in and seeing a young pilot there with his, not newborn, the baby was just sitting up. So anywhere between 3, 4, 5 months old, but obviously never saw their daughter. And sitting, they had a blanket on the hangar floor where he was just sitting there in his flight suit, fresh out of the jet, interacting with his daughter he's never seen. And these are the men and women, and CAG, the Carrier Air Group Commander. She is a captain, probably been in the Navy over 20 years, and she is in charge of the entire air wing. She flew in with my son's squadron. And she was giving a bunch of interviews there and had her daughters around her. And here's someone who's been in the military over 20 years. She's in charge. She is the head honcho of the entire air wing. Every plane that takes off from that aircraft carrier, you know, that's her responsibility. And she's there also, you know, meeting her young daughters who were teens. And to see that, the spectrum there of here's someone who's dedicated her entire life, rose to the level of being in charge of thousands of people. You know, she's the equivalent to the boat skipper for the aircraft carrier as far as the air wing goes. You know, they kind of work side by side. And to have her fly in and come back, and I was watching her give the interviews, and, you know, because her family was there, I didn't want to bog her down with another interview. I could probably get that in another time. But to listen to her say that the men and women in these air crews have created a bond that no one in this generation could even understand. These are the most experienced combat pilots and wizzos and air crews, the maintenance people, the people who put the bombs and missiles on the planes, the people who, you know, everybody who works on these aircraft, to the intelligence people who get the data of where their targets are, what they need to go after. They're the most experienced combat pilots team in our lifetime. And that's been proven on this mission. And the more information that comes out of what they've done and what was seen during this campaign is just incredible. But again, the spectrum that really jumps out at me, not only having my own, you know, flesh and blood come home, and now with his family and reuniting. But again, watching this young pilot with his young daughter that he's never seen before, that was born while he was away, you know, has probably only seen pictures and FaceTime videos, to sitting on a blanket on the floor, you know, interacting. And then the CAG, as she's called, the Carrier Air Commander, Air Group Commander, you know, with her teenage daughters, giving interviews with her daughters flanked by her side, hugging her while she's still doing her duty, giving interviews to the local press that was there. And there was probably about a dozen different news organizations that were looking to get an interview with her. It was just an incredible experience. So we got the word Wednesday that he would be coming home on Friday. We made the plan to leave Thursday night right after the show and head down and take Friday, but really couldn't tell you know, why I was off or what was going to be the deal, because it has been known that if information gets out because of operational security and because what we've seen as far as nefarious actions against military and infrastructure and everything like that, you know, you don't want 5,000 sailors being delayed coming in because somebody said something and put it out there, and then they had to wait another 24 hours before they came in or changed the time because of security reasons. So that's one of the reasons. So I apologize for that and just not being here. But like I've said from the start of taking over this show, family first. You know, I talk about them quite often, but to watch the other dynamics to come in. And to watch the pilots and their families who came in on Friday and Saturday go to Norfolk on Sunday to watch everyone else that served them, everyone else that served with them on that ship come in, was also pretty incredible. Because here's people who just got home themselves. And they said, you know, we got to take our families and we're going to go over to Norfolk and we're gonna watch the ship come in and greet the people, our maintenance people, our ground people, our deck people, you know, the people who cook the food, the culinary people, and everybody else who made this ship go. You know, because it's all we were all next to each other out there while we were dealing with this. And again, make no mistake, this carrier air group that just came in is the most experienced combat group of sailors, Marines that we've had in our generation. And this is coming from the fleet admiral, not me making it up, this from what they've seen. There are pilots and WISOs that go their entire career without seeing what these young men and women saw over the past 5 months during this combat operation. And what's interesting is, you know, I only know what I could read from what the CAG talks about and what the captain of the ship talks about and what the air wing commander talks about. Because, you know, when you talk to my own son, it's, you know, I really can't talk about what happened there. And that's the way it should be. So as more and more comes out, we'll relay it to you there. But thankfully, all my kids are home on what we call CONUS, Continental United States, as we speak now, at least for the next near future. So I appreciate it. And a little touch of what was going on in the world. It's 324 here at WILK.